Hello.
Hello. Welcome to Uva Ball Raw USA. I am Gary Otto. We're here with Uva Ball. How are you?
Good, good. Me and Natalie went to Portugal to the Web Summit from Monday to Thursday, where she was on the podium also, and like all kinds of meetings for her tribella.com website. Like a social media website she's developing. And
yeah, everybody, I want you to for Natalie Ball's Tribella social media platform. Everybody can go to the platform, the website, and they can sign up. And I signed up, and it will be live very soon, right?
Yeah. So it's now what's happening is whoever signs up now is on the list, and then they do to this list like a beta testing at one point, right? So you get then all the access. You have to do it all. We have to see if everything runs smooth, because of course that the difference there to a Facebook and so on is that it should be safe and no bots, no robots, no fake identities. So means the people have to really verify, right? So whatever video call or like, there comes is a program in place where I think you need to provide your face together with your ID or something, and that gets loaded in automatically, and then you're verified. Because there's still, like, when I'm on Twitter or X now and Instagram, I still think half a bot, to be honest. Like, I have not the feeling I communicate with this. When I Twitter something, I have the same 100 people responding, and on Instagram the same, on Facebook the same, but I have like 5,000 Facebook friends and 6,000 Facebook followers and 1,500 Twitter followers, but only 100 are actually ever responding to anything. And so I'm very skeptical about this whole thing, because for them the money is that they have so many people, right? So if Facebook would have to write down half of their customers, what they say they have, the company would lose an enormous amount of value. And, yeah. You know, and that is with everybody like this. Twitter was only sold for so much money on Elon Musk because basically the idiot offered way too much money without actually checking the real value of Twitter. And they devalued it down, I think, to $24 billion now, and he paid 42 or something. So, I mean, that is the thing, you know. And I think when you see every day you have in the press the discussions about Meta and especially TikTok, the Chinese spying on us, and why there are only this few social media kind of, why they control the whole world, why there is not space for something new, something different, you know, where you have a little more fact checked.
The problem is probably because how much money it costs to launch something like that, you know?
Yes. No, I think Tribella, and we should have Natalie on our podcast maybe next week or something, so we do it with three and she can talk about it a little more.
Yeah.
You know, I see that it has to get a push from governments, right? So there are two options. That, for example, in the whole European Union is not one social media website. Like, it doesn't exist. They all use also Facebook and whatever is there. So why not an EU push for Tribella, where what it's listed in Germany, as an example? Or the other way around is they're always talking about limiting Facebook, like not allowing Facebook in some countries. I'm against this, to be honest. I think everything should be allowed. But I think also you should force this websites who make so much money on their customers, on their customer like profiles and ideas and behaviors, because you sell the data, you know, and make all their money with it. So in a way, the wealth should be shared more to the people they actually create the wealth. You know, Mark Zuckerberg, if he would be the only guy who is on Facebook, the value would be zero. So the value comes from a billion people on Facebook. And they're getting nothing. They even should pay. And it's kind of ridiculous, you know? So because without that addresses, the advertising industry would not pay so much.
So you think that people are just investing in Mark Zuckerberg because of his name and not because of anything that he's actually done?
Yes. So that is the thing. It's like, But I mean, it was interesting. There were 70,000 people at the Web Summit. There were like five pavilions. It was like a packed summit. Even before the owner, basically, of the Web Summit, he had to step back because he did a pro-Palestina tweet. So he had to step back, but he still owns over 80% of the Web Summit, so he will still keep the money. But then I think Amazon, Apple, Microsoft, they all said, we're not going. But when you're there, you didn't think they're missing, because you have so many thousands of companies there, and all the countries, Germany, Spain, France, Qatar, Saudi Arab, they all had their own pavilion, the kind of like where you could inform yourself what kind of subsidies I can get out of Spain, out of UK, out of Ireland. Even Ukraine was there with a huge pavilion, and the Klitschko boxing guy, who was the mayor of Kiev, was there too. So there were a lot of celebrities, like the founder of Wikipedia was there, CEO from Signal, tons of people, right? So and from all this kind of apps we know, you know, like TripAdvisor and so on and so on. So it was for me also interesting to see, because I normally am only on film stuff. And there you see like very young people that the internet is the future, right? So, I mean, there is no hotter future industry as tech. And we will all, I was in that Chinese restaurant, I think I sent you the video where the robot served us.
Yeah, everybody saw that robot. That was pretty... Yeah, that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, and they had some robots driving around in the in this Web Summit, and they had like business cards on it or coffee and so on. They were just driving around randomly, and people could take things away from them. So and I was actually 30 years ago in Lisbon, in Lisboa, in Portugal, and now I came back, and the old city is beautiful as ever. But the Web Summit was, of course, not in the old city. It was in a more industrial area. So we went always with the subway. And it was interesting. So when you came back from dinner around 10 with the subway, then out of the blue, there were like hundreds and hundreds of homeless sleeping in the subway station, like hundreds. And in the morning, when you went back to the subway station, and you can see from 7 a.m. on, there was nobody, no homeless. So they were able, basically, every night they come there to sleep, and then daytime they go somewhere. I don't know where, but they were definitely not in the subway. So something San Francisco should put into account in a way. I don't know how they organize it there, but I think the police comes and says, look, now keep moving. And I think it's... For them, it was kind of warm there. You could sit outside still in Portugal, 20 Celsius. So it was not cold or something. But it's safer for them to sleep there, and then daytime they're outside. I mean, that is the advantage from these countries. They're more warm. I mean, Miami would be the same, right? So where you just can, there is no real winter. You can basically, you will definitely survive. You know, in Vancouver, homeless over the winter is life dangerous. So, So that about this, and and then we are almost done with the editing from the Banditos doku. 2 hours 20 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, I know it's too long, but I cannot, like, because I mean this is the dual core bought the Banditos, right? I mean, there is nothing else. And I cannot cut too much out without leaving something major out of it. And I also don't want to cut the interviews too short because I want to give it a real deeper view into the motor club of the Banditos.
Well, so, honestly, two hours and 15 minutes is not that bad for a documentary. It's pretty standard, and I think you shouldn't cut anything, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, in the new documentaries everywhere, they just cut three episodes, for example, right?
Oh, my God.
If when you see, like, the Netflix, the four parts, the Amazon, the four-part documentaries. But I'm not doing it. It's a theatrical documentary. It will be one big documentary. I hope I get also in some documentary festivals with it. And, if down the line, a big streamer comes and said, look, we want it, but you have to cut three episodes out of it, three times 45 minutes, it's totally doable. But then they have to pay it. You know, I mean, so that is the thing. And we will see. But now I'm happy. Before Christmas, we will be done. First shift, we're following up the AFM. Like a lot of people, like over 100, are supposed to watch the movie till now or should watch it this week. And the times are over where people just on the market come, watch a trailer, and buy. These times are over. They're all going to the markets. They look what is there from the films they're interested in. They take a screener, like an online screener. And then when they're home, they watch all their films and then they're making the offer. That is basically how it goes now. And so I have to be patient to wait. Good as the US is sold and Canada is sold. So no matter what, the release, the delivery is going on right now. And that is positive. So, what you said about the TikTok Osama bin Laden thing? Did you saw that? What's going
on? I have not seen that. What's going on?
So there was even on Bill Maher talked about it yesterday. So what happened was there was a letter from Osama bin Laden, an old one, where he basically blames the U.S. for everything. And this letter, out of the blue, gained traction on TikTok in an unbelievable way. That it had like 15 million views in like 10 hours. And then the videos started coming in on Instagram from all that influencers, all that like teenage influencers, like, he opened my eyes. I see America totally different now. Like Osama bin Laden, like the hero. He's now the hero for all the TikTokers, you know. And Bill Maher yesterday in the show said that is only possible because all that TikTokers had no clue from history at all. You know, they don't know what September 11 was or that Osama bin Laden had anything to do with it. It's true. Like, they have no fucking clue. And, I mean, that is just insane. You know, I mean, you can blame America for all kinds of things, but you should not use Osama bin Laden, Osama bin Laden as the role model. So, I mean, a terrorist murderer who was out of his mind. I mean, that is it's crazy. But as we see also with the fake news, like Walter, my son, he came yesterday, he watched the video where Obama, Biden, and Trump talking with each other about a sandwich. And you watch the video and you start laughing about it. Like, Obama, I'm trading my sandwich against, and it's all AI, right? They use the original Trump, the voices, and the voices are perfectly talking this total bullshit to each other. Right. And that is now a real threat.
You know? You can't tell what the difference is between AI and reality. That's a fucking real threat.
Yes. today from the German foreign minister, Baerbock, was a video out where, so because the German government failed this week, there was a 60 billion spent planned into ecology, like whatever, wind and solar and all that stuff. But they took that money out of a pot what was not really existing. And then the other party, the Christian Democrat Party, they sued them. And the highest court in Germany determined that they cannot use the 60 billion bucks. And so now they need 60 billion bucks. And then today, an interview with Baerbock, the foreign secretary, was like totally shocked. She gave that interview saying that they will put an extra tax on, you know, when you bring bottles back, the money you get back, like the plastic bottles. Now they will make basically, so you bring it back, you get the 20 cents per bottle, but this 20 cents is taxed with 50 cents. So something that is completely absurd, of course, when you listen to it, but the people were sending it around everywhere because, of course, it makes Baerbock looking like a completely out of her mind crazy person. You know, because for what you should ever bring a bottle back if you then pay 50% tax on a 20 cents refund fee, right? So, but that video looked perfectly clear. And the first 30 seconds, I was watching it and I thought, yes, she's completely out of her fucking mind. You know, like, I don't know how many people question this. I don't know how many people know that this is now possible to completely create photorealistic with her voice in the computer. So now you maybe have 10 million people that watched that video and made their mind up that she is completely out of it and has to go in the institution. You know, and I think that is the real risk. We cannot filter it anymore. And I think spectacular was today that the ChatGPT boss got fired.
Oh, did he?
Yes. The guy who did it, like the boss, he got fired for, the board had to remove him from the position. And you know what, that could be based on two reasons, I think. Reason one is he just fails as a business person, but reason two is it's out of control. You know,
yeah, if he can't get it under control, somebody else will.
Yes, and uses it for whatever they want, like TikTok. You know, like when TikTok is from China, that Osama bin Laden letter was not, it's also what Bill Mayer said. He said, how can a stupid letter from Osama bin Laden even get into the accounts from 500,000 influencers worldwide that they actually read that letter and that they actually make a video about it? That is an act of espionage, not espionage, but that is a massive sign of trying to infiltrate the brain of the West youth, the people that are living in Europe and North America. That is 100% from the government. They just want to destabilize the West. You know, I'm very skeptical about that, because let's say I post now an old letter from Osama bin Laden or from, I don't know, from Putin. Why it gains traction on TikTok? Everybody who watches TikTok is watching the whole day stupid videos with stupid young kids talking bullshit, making bullshit games, you know, stunts, Mr. Beast, whatever. I don't get it. It makes no sense that this letter got so big. And I think that was an organized effort of infiltration.
Of course.
Yeah. That is what I think. You know?
Yeah, the Republicans only care about perception. Like, if something looks bad, they will, you know, put it through the media and they will complain about it. But whether it's really legitimately offensive or not is up to debate, I think.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like I know the ChatGPT guy. He said, like, basically, and Elon Musk told it to the people too. And he said, they let ChatGPT go in open in the internet and have no control about it anymore. That means it's not necessarily people who do shit like this. It could be also that the AI is just doing this. You know, that nobody can stop it anymore. That it's just like there will be fake news, whatever. It always depends. I watched that interview with Elon Musk and Joe Rogan, where Elon Musk said, if you let the AI loose, it learns. And it will impersonate people. And it will figure things out. You know, it's very intelligent, of course, you know, and it's AI. So they will be having maybe Twitter accounts with a blue mark, like that it's approved, that it's real. That's, you know, like the computer can find out how to verify you without verifying you. These things, they go deep. You know, and then there are people on LinkedIn, there's whatever, the Disney boss verified, but it's in reality not the Disney boss and verified on LinkedIn or Instagram or whatever. No, it's like a computer created him and deletes his profile. I mean, all this shit is possible, and it's like what Elon Musk said in that talk with Joe Rogan, I think was very important, where he said, it totally depends if you give the AI like a direction or not. Like the direction, like we use you now for brain surgery, you know, like whatever, like you have to basically limit AI to a task. And if you don't limit it to a task, it can go in all direction, because then at one point it decides on its own, like, what I'm doing, should I take over the world, or should I make possible that we fly to the Mars, or should I destroy Europe or whatever? Like, then we don't stop it anymore. Then the AI, unstoppable, will just work under his own terms, silently, the way up to fulfilling the task what he made up for himself.
So it sounds like the fucking Terminator is going to come to life, basically.
Exactly. Exactly. I read that was interesting. Always when I'm in the airplane and stuff like this, I get all the magazines out of the launch, and then they're laying around for free there. And then I get all the shit and read the stuff. And there was a thing about a German company. They built this one like a robot, but a better robot as the Chinese restaurant robot, what brought me the food. a robot with hands, a robot with a head, like this house robots, right, in test. And that robot also, it was in the article written, is learning more and more on his own, like where the programmers have no more influence over. They said, like, one day he leaned over and did, like, yoga without any interfering from the programmers of the robot. And they said he never got from us programmed that he would stretch himself like a sports person or something. And he started doing that, and we don't know why. And I think that, you know, a news like this can be very, very positive, but it can be also very, very negative in the way what you just said, that at one point, it's over with the stretching. Now it's Terminator time. So, you know, like, he was my house robot. Now he killed everybody who ever came to my doorsteps. So, I mean, that all of this shit is not so far away as we think.
Hey, you should make a fucking movie about it, huh?
Yeah, that would be a good one, actually. It's like the AI out of control, you know? So, it's crazy. It's basically really absurd, you know. In RoboCop was at least a human in a way, right? Put it in, like, yeah. Human and robot melted together there. But it's crazy. Now, yeah, that is, yeah. And then we see so much disinformation about the Israel-Hamas situation. You don't even know anymore when you put the internet on what video is real, from dead children, from you know, it's like nobody really can verify anything anymore because there's so much fake, there's so much absurdities where they actually, that you saw that few things that went around where that kid is bloody and it looks like, oh, the Israelis shot us all into pieces. But the kid has six fingers. So means it was a manufactured kid in the dirt in Gaza, in a house bleeding, and it looks like the bad Israelis killed everybody, his parents and everything. And if this stuff is done and done and done, I think that is very creepy, actually.
You know, the problem right now with the Israeli thing is that the news media is giving like little tiny bits and pieces to people because the news media doesn't even really know what's going on. So a lot of the Israeli decisions are being kind of like undermined. People are saying, why did you have to do this? And why did you have to do that? But I can kind of understand that they want to keep their strategic defenses in line because they don't want to give that away. They don't want to give away their cover and they want to get this shit done. And a lot of people they don't understand the severity, like the tunnel system. A lot of people have not seen your film, have not seen how claustrophobic and detrimental the tunnel fighting will be. And I feel like the news media is so like simplistic and so uninformatic that we're not getting the full picture of what's really going on. I feel for the Israeli soldiers. I feel for them, but I feel like the news is doing them a disservice by not explaining clearly, due to strategic tactics, what they're doing. And we don't deserve to know every single tactic because we are just the general public. I think that we should allow them to do their thing and we should stop questioning so much every single fact or factor that's going on in this war. What do you think?
No, I totally agree with you that it is idiotic to believe that they can, in the middle of the war, play totally open.
Yeah.
You know? And I think they have to basically keep things for themselves. And that is also what I... yesterday also in that Insta Live thing I was and so on, I always say like what do you want to do? I also tweeted at one point, can you even imagine the Israelis would lose? I mean, think about this. We're turning it around now. And Israel would get overrun by Hamas and Hezbollah and the Israelis, there would be no ceasefire. As soon they would have the possibility to wipe them out, they would not stop before the last Israeli is butchered.
Yeah, I think that Israel is thinking two steps ahead. They're thinking logically about the backlash that would happen if they got more lenient right now. And they want to get it done. They don't want it to last 5 years, 6 years. They want to have this whole conflict, a resolution within the next couple of months. And I get that. It seems like the news media is conflicted and trying to paint them as the bad guy, which I don't disagree with. I mean, I do disagree with the fact that painting them with the bad guy, because Israel is just trying to protect themselves. 1,400 people were killed. And I think that a lot of the... What about the Palestinians at this point is a moot point because they kind of made their bed and now they have to lie in it, you know? Like after they kill 1,400 Israelis, it shouldn't be that much of an institutionally problem that they are being hit back. Of course they're being hit back. And they're being hit back in a way that's going to prevent them from making these institutions in the future. Israelis trying to stop them at the heart. So honestly, I think that the Israel people are doing the right thing. I think that the Hezbollah is fucked. And it's only a matter of time. There will be a lot of people that will be caught in the cross guards. But that is the cost of any war, my friend.
Yeah, exactly. And that is the thing. It's like I had, like, this week in the newspaper was an old, like, warrant, whatever, when the Polish government, after the Second World War, moved 1.7 million Germans away from different cities back to somewhere else. And it was crystal clear written, like, tomorrow up to 10 o'clock, you had to leave your house. The house door and apartment doors have to be open. Everything what is inside your house is now owned by Poland. And you meet all at the railway station. And then you will go to your new destination. And if you're not there at 10 o'clock, the police and the soldiers are basically ordered to shoot you.
Wow.
That was, Germany lost the war. Poland wanted to get territories back or whatsoever. And even it was very much in Germany, but Poland, Russia, whatever, they all divided territories also up. And that is, of course, horrible and very harsh, but 1.7 million people lost everything they had and got misplaced into no man's land. And all of this within 24 hours. So now think about when everybody says how inhuman everything is, you know, and the reality is it's all about the force. What is behind? If you have nothing to fight anymore because you're now helpless and unarmed, you have to accept stuff like this or you will get shot. So, and yeah. Then, you know, and that is now in Gaza in a way the same. When I read this week that around 60% of the Palestinian people are pro-Hamas. 60. So,
yeah, but that's because they were raised that way. They were raised to hate Israelites. It's like a family convenience. Like they continue on the hatred. And I get what Israel is.
There were tons of videos out there, right? From there were kids that from childhood on learning weapons, and shooting and yelling around, kill all Jews, and all that stuff happens there very early on when they're kids. And that is what it is. So you cannot blame the kids. They're getting brainwashed and then they're turning later into also Jew haters. So you cannot really blame them because you have no chance when you grow up like this. But the reality is that they are in the wrong spot at the wrong time.
Yes.
And that is very bad. But there is nothing Israel can really do for them. If the Hamas fighters would love their people, would love their children, they would give up. They would let the hostages go and they would give up and walk out of the tunnels. You know, if you love your people, like, I mean, if you tell me, let's say I'm a fighter, right? And above is your kids, your grandkids, the sisters, brothers, the woman, the mother, whatever. And you know, they're getting killed by the Israelis. Then I think it's time that you give up.
And yeah.
To save our population. And that is where Israel, I think, is completely right that they say the whole time, if they want to save their population and the lives of so many innocent people, then it's in their hands, because we will keep going tunnel by tunnel, house by house to find the hostages. So, yeah. I mean, they have no choice, you know. But for example, if they would release the hostages, let's say there are 200 hostages still alive or 150, whatever.
So there's less than that. I'm sure they already have reported that a couple of them have been killed. So
yeah, but let's say 100 are still alive. So you could let them go. You know, you could at least let the 100 go now. And
I think then, Hamas, they want like...
No, they want this. They want the killing. They want that people are upset about Israel. For Hamas, yeah, it's a political game. And all the victims are kids, and there's their kids, and they don't care about them. That is the truth. They don't
care. They think of them as like a part of the better picture. They think of it like kind of like they are victims of a larger picture, thus it makes it okay, which is total bullshit. Yeah. It's a very simplistic view, and it's totally based in fairy tale and unreality. The thinking of God is going to pardon us and give us like a like virgin wives or whatever the fuck they think is 100% bullshit. I want to say, all of you people who out there who think that after you die, there's going to be some severance banquet or whatever, are completely fucking living in a fantasy. When you die, that's it.
Exactly.
Blackness. You're exactly.
Dead. Yes. And it's so absurd also that, I mean, we have the same opinion on this. It's just like stupid to think that there is God. So, and if you're not religious, all the bullshit could never happen, because it's all based on religion, what's happening everywhere.
If you really think about what's happening based on the facts of religion, it's ridiculous, because they're killing other people based on fairy tales, based on unreality. Like I said, it's not real. God never made any proclamations about anybody. So thus, everything that we're doing is on us, not on God. Because yes, God is a man-made structure. We created the idea of God to represent what we can't comprehend as people, as humans, as limited figures. God is beyond our comprehension and our understanding, and he's certainly beyond any human composure, like right or wrong, or... you know, killing non-Israelis versus Israelis. God does not exist in that way. And I'm so fucking tired of us as people who are of a limited capacity trying to inject ourselves into something that is beyond our understanding. If God exists somewhere, somehow, it's beyond humanity. It's beyond men or women. It's beyond right or wrong. It is beyond our comprehension. And we need to fucking understand that us as humans, we are not on the top of the scale for the entire universe. There might be something out there that might be more intelligent or more foreboding than we are, but there's no room to say we don't know yet. We don't know about God. We don't know about our own humanity. We're still learning. We're in our infancy. You know what I mean?
No, I'm 100% with you. And I think also, like, even if, let's say, because now all in the press is the whole time, the UFOs, like, were ETs, whatever, like, is there life on somewhere else? And if you think about how many stars are out there, how many planets, how far it can go, we don't know how far.
Yes.
So if there is other life, even this is no evidence. That has nothing to do with God. It has to do with that on some other planet, some other kind of life was able via evolution to exist.
Yeah,
and it could be a salamander or a ghost or whatsoever, whatever the fuck. But it has nothing to do as evidence with God. So this week when I read like Vivek Ramitashivai or whatever, the guy from the Republicans who wants to be president, he put up like truths. He Twittered truths. And point one is God is real. And you think when you listen to him in the Republican debates and whatever, he comes across as a real sharp entrepreneur. You know, somebody who knows everything better and is so scientific orientated and economy orientated and so clever and whatsoever, right? So you see him argues like this, and then his whole point is God is real. And you think, like, so there are two options now. He wants to just kiss the ass of the Republican voters. You know, that he just says this because he knows without the ultra-Christian crazy people, he can never get to the presidential, that he's the candidate.
Well, that's where his fucking shit gets fucking devolved. He cares about what other people think so much that he's willing to lie, you know?
Yeah, totally. And so I think there's the option, as I said, he's totally lying. Or he totally believes it, and then he's a total idiot and just never run for any position, you know? And that is the thing. What I have this problem. It's like that I have, in general, the problem that even if there's absolutely no indication and no proof of ever that there was ever a miracle, that the gravity was up or whatever, there's no proof of anything like this. So many people believe in this total bullshit that whatever, at one point, but not now where I live, but at one point before, that you could make out of water wine, you could whatever, well, you could fly to heaven, you know, and all that total absurd stuff that is fairy tale, childish bullshit. And now if adults thinking about, like, believing into this childish bullshit, then they are completely basically unusable to rule the world or to even make any decisions, actually. And
the problem is that so many people get so stuck on how they were raised. Like, my grandma used to take me to Catholic church like once a day for the entire week, and as a child I fucking hated it, but I look back on it kind of like romantically, because it was a partial brainwashing. I love my grandma. I care about what she wants. You know what I mean? And to this day, every Christmas, I feel Catholic guilt of not going to sermon at Christmas Mass in the church. And in reality, when I did go to the church, what did they tell me? That my mom was going to hell for using birth control, that I was not fit for their Catholic church based on the fact that I was having sex, but they're willing to take my money in the collection plate once a week. It's total hypocrisy. And I think that a lot of people need to stop feeling that Catholic guilt, stop feeling the guilt that they impress on you in this completely inauthentic way, because a lot of these people have been built with this bullshit perception since they were little kids. Their whole families have reinforced it. And in reality, the church is a big casino, just like Las Vegas. They take your money and they have very little consideracy for if you've come out okay or not. They care about their motivations, and it's bullshit. I don't know. I think of it as a total hypocrisy. And I think that a lot of people need to wake up and see that in reality, the church is very much meant to take your money more than to induce your soul. There's so much more positive purposes out there as in terms of religion than the Catholic Church.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that is, it's all, let's say, a crazy world. You know?
Yes.
Because you're looking at the Middle East, and then how can we be still religious also? I mean, it's, you know, it's just like we are more civilized about it, maybe, but...
I'm very spiritual. I think of it like, there is a God somewhere out there. It's beyond the known universe. It's beyond our comprehension. It's beyond right or wrong. It's beyond men or woman. It's beyond anything that men as mankind can assert into it. That human understanding is beyond anything that we can control or understand. And we should try and be more spiritual as a result, because out there in the universe, there's so much mess. There's so much out there there has to be some reality equivalent to ours. And as a result, we should try and recognize how important, how blessed we are as human beings, how rare it is to create what we have on this planet, and stop being such fucking bastards to each other. You know what I mean? Stop trying to destroy the world. Stop trying to destroy the environment. Stop putting everything so passively beyond each other based on politics and other inconvenient means. There's so much more out there as human beings that we should fight for. And the Republicans have it wrong. They think that climate change is a myth. I don't believe that at all.
No.
Look at all of the horrible weather that we've been having worldwide this year. It's only going to get worse. What do you think?
No, that is the thing. I'm 100% sure that the climate is changing. I'm not like the doomsday person in the way that I think we will all die because of the climate change. But it will has, and we see that with all the hurricanes, with the droughts, with the floods, that a lot of people will suffer from it worldwide. And some will be maybe take Siberia, what is always in winter or 6-7 months a year, minus 40, it will get milder. And in Siberia, in Alaska, maybe you will have a better life coming through it for a while, at least, right?
Well, I don't know. Like, everything is going to go on its head. Like, Alaska, it's cold. And then it's going to become hot. You know, like, everything is going to be turned on its head. Of course, they might be able to recognize it when it happens. But will they be able to turn it around? For the sake of the people, for the sake of the animals, the poor penguins on the solar ice caps have been sinking into the water because the ice caps have been melting. The polar bears have been displaced. It's a horrible, horrible thing for animals.
No, for animals, it's horrible. I mean, it's very horrible in general, but it's happening. Right?
Yes.
I read this week, and I ripped it out of the newspaper. So from like the climate action Germany was taking up to 2030, now we already basically went away from it, what the UN, every country is pouring more CO2 and carbon and everything in the air. As it was planned, right? So, and we will fulfill 2% of what we plan to do. 2%. So, and till 2030. And is that Germany is using a lot of coal still because we don't get any more gas from Russia and we switch off our nuclear plants. So now, how can we then ask India with 1.4 billion people or China with 1.5 billion people who are not so developed, not so technology driven and have a lot of poor people, how can we ask them to be better or whatever? It's like basically it's all talk, no action. The action we did was 30 years too late. The real action was solar, was wind, with water power, with all that stuff, with the electro cars, all happened 30 years too late to move the needle for real. And based on this, and that is the problem now in the politics, is you have the total climate deniers who say, like a Trump, who basically said, even if it's true, we're not changing it anymore. And with this, he's dead on. You know, he's dead on. Like a Trump guy says, even if it's true, if we don't change anything now, we just keep polluting, we will have 5 years before the total shit hit the fan. Basically, and he's not off. He's in a way right. We cannot, like, it's too late. We will not change it. Whatever happens will happen, and we have to see. There will be whole countries drying off and people dying. There will be whole parts of countries getting flooded, and we will have way more individual floodings, you know, from glaciers who are melting from because also of the fields are not sucking the water up anymore, so they're getting flooded, and little towns getting flooded all over Europe. That happened everywhere, for example. Then you know, it's like, I don't think the last generation and Greta and everybody who's running around and tapes themselves on the streets to stop the street traffic as a protest, that is all, that are symbols, nothing else, but they will not change anything anymore. I think the ship is sailed. I'm still thinking we should do everything to stop polluting. You know, we should do everything to change it, but it's definitely, when you look into what really the situation is, when you really look at the science, it's over. But we're not doing it. We're not moving the needle. To move the needle would really mean like we have to stop producing and driving, and for real, like no more cruise ships, no more airplanes. We have to stop it totally and be in our home garden all for ourselves for the next 20 years. Then it could have a climate change, right?
Well, the problem is that other countries have to kind of get on board too, and a lot of them are not on board.
That's what I mean. It's like Germany, for example, is doing 2% of the population of the pollution on the earth. So even if Germany would now drop the ball and say we're turning into an agriculture country, getting all totally poor and stop producing whatsoever, then it's 2%. It will still in Germany would have the floods, would have the droughts, like stuff like this. It's not that there is then on the border of Germany the end of global warming, because we are not consuming anymore. We are not doing anything anymore. Like we're basically not flying, not driving. So, and it's just an illusion. And I think there are a lot of people now, when I see also on Twitter, I follow some like really green party people and so on, they acting like you do a crime when you have your barbecue on, you know, and I mean they basically make you feeling guilty for any form of pollution, and that is childish because it has nothing to do anymore with the reality we're living in. It's like really, we will not stop the global warming situation. It will get warmer. The question is only how warm. You know, if it gets a 1 or 2% warmer in total in the next 50 to 80 years, I mean, sorry, but it's not killing anybody of us. What kills it is what you're totally right. The coral reefs, the oceans getting hotter, tons of species of animals dying. It will get harder to grow special things on the fields in some regions. All that stuff, that totally happens. But I think also that humans will adjust to it. You know, I think humans will adjust to it, and they will move production of things away from different regions and will put it somewhere else and so on. You know, if you can do oranges now, planting and citrus fruit in England in 20 years, then it will be in England and not in Spain anymore. I mean, it sounds crazy, but that is what it has to be. I mean, we will not stop the climate change with our actions we're doing right now. Completely impossible.
Very interesting. This is a very interesting conversation. And I want you guys to share this show, Uwe Ball Grand USA, if you think that this conversation deserves to be heard.
Yeah, thanks so much. Next week we're coming back, maybe with Natalie in the first half of the show. And I'll go on tribella.com and sign up for the wait list.
Yes, guys, sign up for Tribella. I have signed up for the wait list. And when it launches, we will all get an email and we will be able to be a part of the most interesting social media aspiration that there has been so far. I feel that Tribella is better than Twitter, is better than Facebook, and it will have great features that I think are ahead of its time. So sign up. Make sure that you tune in for the next time. Next Uwe Boll Raw, so you can hear Natalie Ball here. And we will talk to you next time.
Perfect. Bye. Bye-bye.
Take care, guys. Bye-bye.